The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. That's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
Oh my God. My mind's made up to learn some more about my guest's songwriting, but also to open my heart to her. How you doing, everybody? My name is Dean Olson. I am the Strong Writer on the radio. It's my goal on this show to help songwriters and artists keep musically fit, and the way I usually like to do that is through faith and encouragement, by learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. I really hope you enjoyed the first part of my conversation with the great Cindy Alexander. She is a singer-songwriter and recording artist from Los Angeles, California. She happens to have recently released an album, an EP of 6 songs and a couple bonus tracks. It is called An American Girl, and you can find that at www.blueelan.com. That's spelled B-L-U-E-E-L-A-N. Go look for Cindy Alexander when you get there, or you can just go right to www.cindyalexander.com. I don't think that Cindy will stop you. Anyway, let's get this show back on the road. This is part 2, and Cindy and I were talking about her songwriting and a previous album called Curve. And before I knew it, Cindy threw a curve right back at me. She turned the tables, and it was very interesting. She is the first guest on my show to have gone through a challenge of cancer, who got me to admit my own story. I gave her the long version, but it was the first time I got to talk about it. So Cindy and I can both tell you, when life throws you those curves, step into it and keep following that dream. Here now is part 2 of the trilogy, Cindy Alexander. Okay, I am back. Cindy Alexander is my guest. She is a wonderful singer-songwriter, a recording artist, has put out 7 CDs, including the brand new one in October of 2015. It's called An American Girl. You can get that at www.cindyalexander.com. Pretty easy to spell, I would say, right, Cindy?
Yeah. The actual direct link to purchase it, though, is blueelan.com. BlueElan.com. Just go to the store, and you'll see my new records. The last 2 actually are in there.
I'll make sure that I include a link, but they can always, you wouldn't be against them going to your site and checking you out, right?
Of course, come visit me, absolutely.
I was just getting to know you in the last segment, and I'm so happy that you shared how you grew up, and bring the people up to speed. You had breast cancer in 2013, and you were talking about how you had sort of a, not a silent partner, but somebody came along and helped to guide you to, along with yourself, to create a brand new album at that time called Curve, which is, it's kind of veiled as a theme going through that whole album, dealing with your experience, right?
Well, Curve was, represents the curves that were cut off of me.
Oh, yeah.
And the curve that life threw me and how I got around it.
This is referring to a double mastectomy that you had.
Yeah.
And I was always curious because I had that album and really enjoyed it, especially trying to guess if there were metaphors or
there's lots of metaphors.
Yeah. Well, I like the song Anesthesia. I thought maybe that was something that literally referring to what you were going through, like telling the doctor to put you under and do it right. And
Yep. That it's so true. I went under 3 times. And the second time, when I was being wheeled in, the anesthesiologist was texting. and I said, dude, please do not text and anesthetize me. And he looked at me, just gave me the dirtiest look, and I put a little smile on my face. I'm like, no, please, you know. And I just remember how bad it hurt. Like, it burned so bad going into my veins that the last word out of my mouth before I went under was an expletive.
Uh-huh.
And the other two times, it was just beautiful. It was just this beautiful, you know, think about beautiful things, what makes you happy, you know. And so I wrote anesthesia for those doctors who were wheeling me in at that time.
Heart is on a track, locked inside my brain. I feel the chainsaw motor as it scrapes against the pain. Then out of the blue, a circle of white. I'm lifted by an army and the shadow.
It's really a nice, it's a unique gift that you have. A lot of people I talk to at Songwriters, they don't take any bows for having a gift. It just is. It's part of you. And you're able to take stories that happen to you or maybe some people around you and you interpret it. Yeah, you interpret it into a song. And that's, I think that embodies what a singer-songwriter is, especially, you know, those who do it with such honesty and grace as you do.
Thank you. Very high compliment coming from another songwriter. Thank you.
Thank you. I noticed that I was like sharing it with some other people just as a forced listening party. It's like when you go over and play tapes and records for your friends or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I went over there and, there wasn't a bad song in the bunch. I was trying to go through some of your videos that you put out on YouTube, such as the song Wonderful and Heels Overhead. I'd never seen that video until just now, but I thought it was... you do music videos very well. You pick good people to make a nice, compelling, you know, picture story of what you're doing.
Well, thank you. You know, those two that you just mentioned, Wonderful and Heels Overhead, they're completely like the opposite experiences.
Uh-huh.
A very good friend of mine, Joan Mazzicchi, directed Wonderful, and one of my closest friends, Marla Sokoloff, stars in that. And that was literally all my friends just coming together and helping me do this. Joe is a dear friend. I met him at Club Med. Like, I don't know. Gosh, how old was I? Like 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
And he used to work at New Line Cinema. He's the one that actually hired me to do my first cover of American Girl. I don't know if you know that I have two.
No, I didn't.
Yes. I was brought in. I did it for New Line Cinema, New Line Records, and Trauma Records. Back, I think it was 2001. And at that time, I had no say in how that song was going to be. Actually, I should get back to that story. That's a whole other story. Let me tell you about Wonderful first.
Okay.
So Wonderful was done completely guerrilla style. We had no permits. And we were literally chased by the police.
Oh, no.
So we would be in a group. And then somebody would say, what was our word that we used to use? We had like... was it some like Starbucks word, like a latte or let's go to Starbucks. It was like something like that. And then everybody would disperse, you know, so that they couldn't find us. And I just remember that last shot where I'm on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally overhead, there was a helicopter trying to break us up, you know, over the last week. You need to get on, you know, shut down your production. So that one was like done on a complete shoestring. You know, there was no budget. There was no budget for that.
Oh, how nice! Yeah,
but it was super fun. It was a crazy. And there's this one scene where Marla breaks open a feather pillow, and the feathers are flying everywhere. And I still to this day will get feathers appear out of nowhere because they got into the air conditioning ducts.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, my husband was so mad, so mad. So Wonderful is still wonderful as of today. I mean, literally, I'm sure today at some point I will find a feather. Now, the video for Heels Overhead,
yes.
The first time that I ever done something with a budget. And Blue and Lawn, as I said, they bring in some amazing people. And they brought in Richard's last name. You know, go to the credits on the YouTube page for Heels Overhead, because that team was just unbelievable. And Paul Urich, and there's so many names, and I'm sleep deprived right now, which is the only reason why I can't remember everybody's last name.
Don't worry about it. That's fine. We'll make up for that.
Yeah, it was an incredible team, and that was such a fun experience. We shot out in I'm trying to think. It was a dry lake bed. It was Lucerne, yeah, Lucerne Valley.
Yeah.
And it was so hot. It was over 100 degrees. And there was I showed up and there was a trailer. I'm like, really? There's a trailer? I couldn't believe it. There's food here?
Some of that land, I know I pass through there sometimes. Some of it is so barren, and you feel like nobody's lived out there for the last 150 years. You know?
Oh, but it's beautiful, and the sunsets were incredible.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Yeah. And then we also did a video for Old Dream, which was directed by Stacey K. Black. Oh, and Digby. Digby directed Heels Overhead.
Ah, okay. Before you get into Old Dreams, which I like also, very nice, very nice video and song. When people listen to Heels Overhead, it's very compelling to watch, and how dramatic you are in it, and the way it was directed. What's the song about when they're listening to it?
The song is about drama queens.
including yourself, right? Somebody else?
Yeah, you know, I've been there. I did it. I did it for many years. I've got a bunch of records about my dysfunctional relationship to my ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking responsibility for the choices that I made, and I'm telling other people, you know, I'm basically saying some of us, I'm including other people that have done what I did, what I do sometimes, but, you know, take a fight to just to feel alive sometimes. And if we take responsibility for the bad choices that we made, we can get ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, about that element of my personality and personalities of people around me.
Just for the record, I feel it getting heavy. I start to push away, but I go there if you let me. Found him on the freeway, everything went faster. I'm gonna hit the storm, cause I'm a natural.
Well, thank you. So, Old Dreams. Now we'll get back to that. That was we loved that one. That was a real nice. You know, we weren't crying tears, but you know, you get a little lump in your throat watching it, especially when you introduce it the way you do in the text. How you wrote it. You know.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Yeah.
Old Dreams. I took my family to Joshua Tree, and it was in between my surgeries, and the car broke down.
Uh-huh.
And when it was jump started, the guy from AAA said, "Let's lady it Sunday, and I don't have any batteries. Everything is closed, so you can go into the park, but whatever you do, don't turn off the engine." Because there's no cell reception in there either. So I took my family to the park, and they had, you know, a great time climbing the rocks, and I stayed in the car and I wrote Old Dreams.
Drove through Yucca Valley, kids crashed out and back. Dad is flipping stations till he finds some Johnny Cash. The cactus up ahead, they look like cowboys waving high. They say, come but keep your distance. That's the story of my life. Stop, let it all sink in. Old dreams die to let new ones begin. Lay your gifts upon the stone. Walk away. Some will follow you.
And it's incredibly personal. And as all my songs are, they're my truth. They're my truth in that particular moment. And yeah, I had a hard time singing it without crying for a long time.
Yeah, because you put it out there, and when you listen back to your own words, it must hit you in a different way. You know,
it does. You know, once you've had any kind of life-threatening illness or you've faced your mortality, there it doesn't go away. So everything that I write from or have written from that point on, there is that duality. You know, there is that that dark side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I've always been a glass is half full type person rather than half empty.
Good for you.
And so there's always that element of hope. But if anybody ever thinks that that my music is either sad or happy, you're wrong. There's always going to be, you know, layers in between, and I'm going to touch on both sides.
Yeah, that's good. And you have fans that grow every year, right? That you probably notice that they probably appreciate the candor, the honesty that you put out and put forth in your music, and you probably don't have to discuss it much because there it is in what am I trying to say? It's in your music.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's true. Your fans grow up with you, and they everything is, especially with indie music, is word of mouth. But it's interesting. I've just kind of seen the age range. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like there's like a new generation now.
So they've watched you. So they watch you emerge as an artist, going through that, getting, meeting somebody, marrying, and then having kids, and then going through your ordeal just now.
And so are my, you know, that core fan base that I've grown up with. They grow up with me, and they're going through those things too. You know, it's not just me. So it's, you know, I never try to write the same record twice. I'm never gonna. You know, it's not like I can't change. I am who I am, and my music is going to grow up with me.
Yeah, I just wanted to compliment you on your body of work. You know, not just the new album. I want people to really. It's a short 6 songs, and some of the acoustic tracks in there as well. Or is it?
Yeah, there's 5 songs and three acoustic versions of the first 3 songs.
Let me tell you something.
That's American Girl.
Let me talk about that very quickly. You know, it starts off real well. The first track, Play, really gets you in the mood to enjoy. some good music, but you know, like you said, it's not either happy or sad. There's mixed stuff in there. It sounds like a little melancholy and also some hope in that song.
Yeah, right? Well, it's about the healing power of music.
Yeah, and See You in L.A. That was one that also stood out. Sounds like my uncle said it was like a sort of a commitment song, a good commitment song.
Yeah, it's actually not about me. That's not my story.
Uh huh.
But however, as being a singer-songwriter, you tend to inject your perspective or point of view, you know, in songs, even if you're writing them about somebody else. But that's a story about Anna Danes, who was my co-writer on that. And she just finished a jazz album. And I was brought in to write some songs with her, and I do not write jazz, but Dave Darling produced her as well and said, look, just write the way you write. And, you know, we'll take care of the jazz arrangements and we'll turn them into whatever they need to be for Anna. So we wrote this song, See You in L.A., and she basically told me, you know, her story of her relationship. And so her version is completely different. It's the bossa nova.
Okay. That's cool.
But, I was reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I mean, that's one of my favorite books. And I was reading it to my kids that week that we were writing it. So there's a little bit of that that creeps into the song. And also, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to have to put some things on hold that you really, really want because other things, like family, take precedence. You know? So that's kind of what that's about.
I think I died 1,000 times. I got one more to get it right. It's when the ocean sprays my body now. I come back to life. Yes, to you. Above the fray, below the sun, I kiss your face. Cause I know you and I are worth the wait. See you in LA. I'll see you in LA. I think I died 1,000 times. I got one more to get it right. You see, patience is the heavy load I carry all my life. Above the fray, below the sign, I'll kiss your face. Cause I know you and I were worth the wait. Yeah. Here's my heart,
You got my soul. Keep me safe. I won't be alone. I know you.
What's Monarch is another one that stood out. That's a, is that like Lost Love type of song?
actually, it's, it could be. Like, if that's what it is to you, that's great. That's
I heard that, you know, I just take that for what it is. It sounds so well crafted and, you know, and then I have to listen to it and pretend I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but my song should mean, I mean, once you listen, it should become your song and mean whatever it means to you.
Really? That's what everybody gets, right?
Yeah, but to me, when I was writing it, I wrote it with Michelle Brouwerman.
Uh-huh.
I wrote all these songs for An American Girl. I wrote while I was touring for Curve. And I was on the road at this point in the South, and I had met a gentleman who had hosted a private show for me, but he couldn't come to the show because he was going through chemotherapy. So the day after, I went to visit him. And we obviously were sharing stories about going through cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about a friend of his whose daughter, Hope, passed from osteosarcoma. But while she was, you know, basically in hospice, Make-A-Wish Foundation visited her and said, What would you like for your wish? And she said, I would like for all the children in front of me on the list to get their wishes because they're much worse off than I am.
Aww.
And that story just really stuck with me and touched my heart. And Hope's parents, Stuart and Shelby, wrote a book called Hope's Wish. And Dennis, who's the man that told me the story in the first place, introduced me to Stuart and Shelby. And they sent me the book. And I was so inspired by it. And as any of us who've lost someone that we love, we look for signs that there's something more to their life, that maybe they're visiting us in spirit. And for me, I always think that my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, one of my closest friends that passed a long time ago, Wendy Jo, mm-hmm. I always think that they visit me, and when I see butterflies. And so, as in the book, they're always looking for signs as well. So I wrote Monarch Butterfly, basically in a response to Hope's Wish, that book about Hope, and I dedicate it to Hope. And recently, in the last week, Dennis, who told me the story of Hope, he just passed as well. So when I sing that song, it's for these people. It's the people that we've lost, and hoping that we can still find them.
I'm so glad that you're doing that. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that listen that you probably even haven't even met, and they really appreciate that you share this kind of, I don't know, it's just, it sounds like a sad subject, but you probably made more in tune with that now that you've had your own experience with other people, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. When you're a cancer survivor and you tell your story publicly, and I tell it on stage, it's amazing what happens after the show. Because so many people come up to me and they'll tell me, I'm a survivor. Or they'll tell me the stories, you know, that happened in their family with their friends. So it's, as I said, we were talking about that duality, the, you know, dealing with mortality and dealing with hope and life at the same time. And, and that's just something that's always swirling around me.
Yeah, I have a fondness, even more so. I think I shared with you briefly what I had to go through this year.
Yes.
And it, I don't know if it's as serious to even talk about with people because, you know, but it was devastating for us in the beginning, you know. And I went through 2 years of not knowing what in the world this was. And then,
why don't you tell people, since you're talking about it, tell them what you went through. Tell them what you had.
This is my show. I guess I should, huh?
No, I get to turn the tables on you.
Thank you. You know, nobody ever asked me that, so I rarely offer up because it's not a show about me. It's a show about, you know, you, the artist. But yeah, I had 2 years ago, I started getting these pains in my side in 2013, about this time you were going through your thing. And I thought it was just, you know, muscles. I was like working too hard. I thought maybe I was developed some kind of spasm, and doctors could not tell me what was going on. So I thought this is something I was just going to have to live with for a long, long time. And then it got so severe that one day last year, around Christmas time, my wife said, would you like to go to the emergency room? And I said, yes. And she was shocked because, you know, guys don't ever do that. They don't say that I need to go to the doctor or we're like that. And they didn't exactly find it right away. But as time went on during the coming months, they found out that I had a sarcoma that was about the size of, like a grade A egg. I think I told you that in the email.
Yeah.
And it had been growing over time, but they saw it was a mass. At the time, they still didn't know what it was. So as they scheduled surgery in March for me to take it out, they still didn't know what it was. They were going to get it out and then go take the pathology and find out what it was. And it turned out it was a cancerous sarcoma, and the location, it was very rare. They only found like maybe four or five cases of it ever happening in the books. It's usually something that they found in women, like in their reproductive organs. So it happened to be in my kidney's vein, the renal vein, and it was painful every single day for about, maybe it happened about chronically about four times a day. It was just the stabbing pain all the time. And now it's gone, basically, because what they did is after they took it out, the kidney itself, they felt that was in danger because, you know, it was an organ, and this kind of cancer, even though they think they wiped it all out of my body, they said that kind of cancer, if it comes back, it's aggressive, and they didn't give me long to live after that. So I could either gamble and just keep on taking tests or elect to have another surgery and get that out of there. And that's what I did.
Of course. You know,
yeah. But it's just one of those things. Now I try not to make a big deal saying, oh yeah, I'm a cancer survivor too. I kind of am, but you know, I have not gone through the ordeal and the hell that other people have gone through with having radiation or chemicals,
yeah,
poisons in
I
your body.
Neither.
Yeah.
That's because you chose to deal with it, like, you know, by taking it out and not letting it come back and having to have chemo. That's another thing that I did. I took both my breasts off because I had a very, very aggressive cancer. And I could take, you know, part of my breast, which is, you know, was an option for me, which really wasn't an option by the time they did the surgery because they realized it was all over. So I would have had to go back for another one. And then have radiation. I didn't want to be radiated. That does other things to your heart, you know, to your bones. I'm like, just
yes.
Take them off. Take them both off. Let's get rid of it. And that's it. And so I didn't have to do radiation or chemo. But it could have been different if I had not made that decision.
Now, you probably, I can imagine what Chip must have been like when he found out that you're going to have to go through this and when it became a reality, because I saw the look in my wife's eyes when, you know, she was trying so hard to keep it together. And, you know, I would go to my parents and just for them to, they were so, I don't know, it's hard to describe.
No, I get it. It's harder than them. It's harder on your parents and your significant other. I mean, by far. I've been on both sides.
And everybody's growing around right now. Now that I just went through that second surgery about maybe 3 months ago,
uh-huh.
And I'm doing so much better right now. I don't have that same pain now. It's just, you know, surgical pains, but that might be with me for a long time. But everybody goes up and they say how leaping praise on me, like for being so brave and, you know, and working through it. Like I continue to do the shows and go out and meet people when I can, and when I can still walk around. And I say, well, no, it's just the way I deal with things.
It's just survival. We're just surviving.
We're just doing what human beings are. We're designed that way. Yeah,
exactly.
We're not designed to just lie around. And, but, you know, even though some of us do, but, you know, we're lazy, and then we're also driven as well. So
exactly. I agree with you. It's not about bravery. It's about the will to live. That's all. You want to live. You do what you have to do to live.
That's why I don't want to insult you nor patronize you and say that, oh, you know, you're such a brave woman, Cindy, for doing that, because But you would like to do basically the same thing. You elected to do, it says, let's just take them off and the consequences be over with, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So now, since we're talking about that, it's important. I'm going to cover two subjects, that and the fact that, you know, it's important when you're collaborating to have allies in music, good friends that share the same interest. And I noticed that you're good friends with Allie Handel.
Yes.
And you're going to be, I think you're going up to San Francisco with her as well, or is this something
Allie,
else?
Yes, Allie and I, well, we've been touring together. She's been my sidekick actually on and off for a long time, for many years. We're really good friends. She is a cancer survivor as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to San Francisco next week. We have two shows, one in San Francisco on Tuesday night, and one in the Suisun Valley at Visor Family Vineyards on Wednesday. And that, all that information about the shows is on my website.
Yes, you have a few on there, so anybody can just keep going there for updates on where you're going to be in around the country.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have a great time, and I do a lot of house concerts as well.
So that's fun. I bet.
Is interested? Yeah, you just get your friends together and do a potluck dinner, and I show up and bring Allie with me, and we set up a PA and we put on a show. It's great.
How do you two work together? I've noticed, I saw a couple videos where she's playing the guitar as you sing. Is that a good combination to do?
Oh, it's both. I mean, I play guitar and I play piano, and sometimes I just sing. It just gives me options, you know, to just be able to sing sometimes, not have to always be playing.
Yeah.
And also she can rock it out, which is great.
I love her. She's fantastic.
Great rock guitarist, yeah.
And
she's just super fun to hang out with, and we have a lot of laughs.
Pass along to her that I still have not forgotten her, and I want to have her on the show just like I'm having you, because I met her, what was it, 2012, 13, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I got like a quick thing on camera with her, but I wanted to so much to talk about, and I didn't think she, at the time, she had actually gone through her cancer thing, and she did go through
some chemo. Yeah,
she had the chemo, and I can't even pronounce the kind of stuff that she went through. It was like some form of leukemia, correct?
Yeah, it's a blood cancer, and I can't remember the name of it either. We call it special cancer. Maybe laugh about that.
Special cancer?
One.
Good, I'll remember that.
Special one. Yeah.
But give her my best. Give her my best. I adore her, and she's got a cool husband who does magic, and
we rehearsed last night, and I love it because I go over to her place and there's bunnies. Because the magician, he pulls bunnies out of his hat. So, yeah, there's two bunnies, Benny and Amelia, and I love them.
How do you transition from bunnies? Wow. Cindy Alexander, can you imagine? Look at all the stuff that we packed into part two here. We have the conclusion coming up next week, so I want you to please get ready for more of this amazing recording artist, singer-songwriter, wife, mother, cancer survivor, lover of avocados or whatever she says on her site. She is fantastic. You must check her out at www.cindyalexander.com. And until next time, this is Dean Olson, the strong writer on the radio, saying, let's all put our best pens forward like Cindy Alexander and be strong writers together. Go forth, have a wonderful weekend. Take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye now.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the Radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the amazing Women and Men of Power, world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.